Good day, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the show. As we discussed, you probably are a toxic man if you're a man and watching this show. According to the Matrix today, according to some modern women, or most modern women. But what is a toxic woman? And I would actually argue the world is full of toxic women, a lot more than toxic men. But we focus on man being toxic because, as we discussed in the previous show, it is done to destroy masculinity for the most part. But what is a toxic woman? Is the toxic woman, it is a relationship to a man or to something else? And here to join us, a love hacker herself at the Love Square. Susan, what is a toxic femininity?
Well, we just spent, I don't know how long, talking about toxic masculinity, which is, just to recap on what toxic masculinity is, it's that role that men force themselves into, being tough, or be a man needs to be doing certain things that they don't steer from. It's basically the judgment of a gender's role without any sort of evolving into what it could become to become that more balanced person. Because toxic masculinity is all about defining yourself within one spectrum and not allowing yourself to be able to see different sides of things and to grow and evolve into certain things. Because we're in a modern world right now where it's higher consciousness, the energy of the world, which means we have to move with the energy. So mono understanding of something is a very archaic way of living today. We have to have a broader scope of understanding of what the world is with all this, the roles that we have to play within society, because we have a lot more information in society now to process. Not like back in the day, because back in the day we only had radio, and even before that we only had
church.
Exactly. Right. Today, it came to TV, radio, and then TV, and then now internet. So now we're doomed. Like, seriously, there's so much information coming in. So we have to roll with the world that we live in. Right. But toxic masculinity is all about that. It's all based on feeding judgment. Did we not agree to that, or did we agree to disagree and just love each other still? I don't know. What did we conclude in that?
I don't know. I mean, I was hoping to hear what toxic femininity is in this show. But yeah, Glenn, what is toxic masculinity, to summarize a previous show?
Susan was just saying how the world has changed. It seems so much more complicated. As the G-man, I always try and keep things as simple as possible. I know my role. I adhere to my role. I thank the creator for giving me this chance to do my role. And to me, it's very simple. Now, I would be probably labeled, since that's what everybody does today, I would be labeled more of a traditional man. Some people might even say that would be toxic masculinity, but I really don't care what they say. I live my life according to my moral value, my moral compass, and what my belief system is, and according to what I see out there today, I tend to think that I'm on the right track, and I'm going to stay on this track. So this show is going to be more on toxic femininity.
Okay, to summarize right away what you just said, and if you're looking at the screen right now, brothers and sisters, you see a woman on the left and a man on the right, Glenn. And Susan, you guys don't see it, but you guys on the screen, right? So the point is, we describe the binary world, right? The binary world, yin-yang, right, Glenn? Feminine versus masculine. And I think if we're talking about toxic masculinity, the way I perceive it, it's the way man relates to a female counterpart in general. But toxic femininity is something different. Isn't it, Susan?
Yes, it is. So since we were talking about toxic masculinity, let's balance it out, because you know me, I'm all about balance. So if there is such a thing as toxic masculinity, which we have defined that now, it's just a term that's used to label stupidity. So let's label the woman's side, the feminine side, the toxic femininity. And it is also a term that can be used to describe how women define other women with judgment. So there are so many, and I've heard this a lot, because I am although I am feminine in many of my views, but I speak like I'm masculine, right? So there's a lot of force that comes out with my words. I'm very intentional. I'm very direct. So I've been accused, and this is toxic femininity coming towards me. I've been accused of being too masculine. That's toxic femininity.
I can see that because it's not because you're masculine. I actually find you very feminine in particular, and Glenn would support me in this. But I think if you define yourself there, is that because you're very strong in your convictions and your values, and you're not willing to compromise on that?
Oh, I'm willing to compromise. I'm always looking for people to challenge me. I've learned that you cannot always be right. It's a very lonely world. And also I want to learn. So I want to hear different aspects, which is why I'm sitting here with you guys, because I want to hear both sides of the views, not only the intellectual views on the world and relationships, but the emotional views from you guys, if there's any. But no, just joking. Glenn comes from the bodybuilding world, okay? You can't get any more masculine than that. So, I mean, I'm sure that vis-a-vis all your peers.
In the streets.
Exactly.
You learn the reality of the world.
Absolutely. So I'm actually... And I know street language. I come from that world where I'm more street smart than I am book smart. Thank goodness for that, because I can learn the books. I can't learn the streets. So coming from a background being street smart and knowing how to connect with people, how to make things happen, how to protect yourself, how to maneuver through the world is a much better skill. But I'm always looking for people to challenge me. When I'm wrong, oh, I celebrate. I swear, but you'd have to prove me wrong, though. You can't just try to bully me being wrong. So if somebody comes, and like I said, a lot of women bully each other. I deal with women clients that struggle with being bullied within the women. Men are not even in the spectrum of why women struggle. Women struggle more with the toxic femininity that come within the women's circles. The judgment, the jealousy, the labeling, it's just bad. So yeah, well, you're a woman, Susan, so you should stand up for the women. I'm like, give me something to stand up for. You know, I'll stand up for the women, but give me something to stand up for, because you can't go around telling me that, or telling the world there are no good men around, and spewing negative things about a limited view of what you know about the world. Keep your limited views to yourself until you expand your mind. But it's that spewing. So, but they look at me like, well, you look, you're married. You don't know what we're feeling. But I wasn't married before. When I was single, right? I wasn't born married. So it's that limited. I know it's like, oh, so yeah, but you think I didn't work for it?
You
think
have to explain yourself, like, really? You know?
Just because I have myself figured out, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, but you should be more feminine and vulnerable. Oh, I'm vulnerable. Don't you worry. I'm giving my whole dirty laundry on screen.
What about toxic femininity in a way, let's say, when women support other women's bad behavior? For example, like when women cover up for their friends, female friends, to go cheat on their husbands, or... you know, support them in destruction of the family, or you know, doing any number of the bad things that go against traditional values in general.
Yeah, you go, girl. Yeah, you show him. You show him who's the boss. You don't need that guy. You're a new boss, babe.
Or like, I know you. You're gonna do whatever you're gonna do anyway. Just so go ahead and do it.
Yeah, but don't forget, I don't think that is based on the term toxic femininity. Toxic femininity is the same as toxic masculinity, right? Toxic masculinity is pigeonholing the man to be a certain way that they have to be, right? So a man is supposed to be tough. A man is not supposed to accept anything but black and white. A man is supposed to be logical. A man is not supposed to feel. A man is, you know, like, a man is supposed to suppress all that so you can be a robot to go out there and be more, do more, bring in more, right? That's toxic masculinity's idea. So,
thank you, Susan. That was rather nice. That was a Glenn moment. Thank you.
You're
all right. I'm learning. You're all right.
I'm learning, honey. Yeah. I'm learning. Yeah, you've taught me a lot.
You're good.
I'm becoming more a man, you know.
That's a different show. That's the, you know, that's
obviously also hypocrisy would fit into that toxic femininity. In other words, men can criticize each other and not mean it. Women can compliment each other and not mean it. Mm. That's the hypocrisy.
Yep.
That's not healthy either.
Yep. And but constructive criticism is a very masculine thing, right? So we're not even allowed to give each other constructive criticism as women. We have to tippy-toe and walk on eggshells. And like what you were just describing, yeah, they're promoting bad behavior with each other because they don't understand the difference between enabling and supporting. It's two very different things, right? These women are supporting and enabling. No, they're not supporting. They're enabling each other. If I really love you, I would tell you the truth because I don't want you to go down that rabbit hole. I want you to be better. I'll tell you the truth with love. I'm not telling the truth with judgment.
So enablers, that's the toxic people in general, female or male.
Jealousy.
Oh, enablers are not helping things in the world. They're just not.
They're
helping.
Jealous and envy. They have an ulterior motive. They have hidden agendas too. That's that. You know, how could you tell another person to try and break up the family?
Yeah.
You go on your own. You don't need this person.
I'll go as
life.
Far as how can you be friend? Well, how can you be friends with that person who is behaving that way?
Well, they're all the same though. Don't
forget they're enabling each other.
They're all the same. And they're feeding off of each other's unresolved anger and resentment within themselves. I don't think anybody now in my life now, not before, of course, but now I don't think anybody would even come to me with such stupidity because they know.
Glenn, I'll come to you tomorrow. Glenn, I got a girlfriend, right? And I'm like, Glenn, I'm going to tell her that I'm working out with you. Then we're recording a show. Then I'm going to Toronto with you for the night, and then we'll be back on Thursday. Can you please tell my it's not going to come to that, but just in case if she asks, can you please cover for me? Can you please tell her that's what we did?
Yeah, what the hell are we doing in Toronto together until Thursday?
No, that's beside.
Don't be
we're
in the
same
car,
we're gonna
two
go
guys.
To this, we're going to go to the spa. But the point is, what would you tell me in that situation? Like, honestly, you can tell the audience. Your honest reaction, like, let's say I'm asking you, Glenn, I'm going to cheat on my girlfriend, obviously. I'm not going to use that word, but I'm going to spend some time somewhere else without giving you details. But if she asks, in case in the future, you'll tell her I was with you.
Yeah, a younger G-man would say, you go do what you want. Obviously, if you want to cheat on her, you're not really serious about her. But a more mature G-man would say, well, then, if you want to do that, why are you wasting your time with her? And why are you wasting her time? When is the woman going to be good enough? Like, you keep this one on a revolving thing, hoping that, okay, well, she will suffice for now, but maybe I'm going to find one even better. So you're a little bit into that usury mode, and you see people, they do that to each other all the time
but
to
would
try
you cover
and make
for me?
Themselves feel better.
But would you cover for me? As a friend, we're friends. Would you cover for me? Would this even be an issue? You'll be honest.
I'd say, no, that's not a cool thing. I can't lie. I'm not going to go out and expose you, but I will tell you, and I will tell you straight. If your girl asks me, mm-hmm. I got to say, well, maybe you should go have a nice conversation with him. It's really not my business, but I have a sister, and I wouldn't like somebody doing that to her.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if I had a daughter, you have a daughter, I would not like somebody doing that to her. I would say, come here, I want to talk to you.
And that's being a good friend, because you actually are setting me straight.
And also, there was a time when men used to keep men in check, okay? I understand, younger guy, okay, go protect yourself, you know? I mean, that seems to be the flavor of the day today in today's dating market is just hookup culture. And like I always said, that is a woman's domain. They are the gatekeepers towards sex. You decide who goes in and who doesn't go in, right? Now, that's a lot of power you have over a man. I say to my sisters, you use that power wisely, because that's something that you have that you can attract something special in your life.
Susan, would you cover for me if I came to you with this and say, Susan, I'm going with you to Toronto on paper, but really I'm doing something else. And if my girlfriend asks, would you cover for me?
It generally no, but it depends also because I've had a situation like this where one of my friends was trying to get away from a very dangerous person, right? That could have hurt her. So it's that whole reality of, okay, is lying really black or white? Is it really black or white? If you had to save your sister from somebody, would you lie? Yes, we would, right? So everything is so black, like there's a gray area or everything. But if you were just doing it because you wanted to have your fun and you were lying to her, you know my answer, honey. No.
Of course.
And you wouldn't even ask me because you know my integrity.
Yeah. And that's the point. I think the reason why I even brought up this conversation of enabling, I think we enable each other behavior, we'll allow other people to treat us in a certain way. We'll enable other people to behave a certain way around us by not drawing the boundaries for ourselves and for how we want to be treated in that situation. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes back to boundaries. So go back to toxic female conversation. Why do women end up like, okay, the makeup and outfits and high heels and et cetera, all the stuff that women wear, we hear it many times. They're not necessarily doing it for the men. Then they're doing it for the women. Look at the purse. Men do not know the difference between Louis Vuitton and
that's whatever. Right. But they're competing for each other for that man, and they think they're competing against the other women. And they like only a woman knows how another woman thinks. Men are in another universe. Okay, they get lost, and so they have to. I won't say walk on eggshells, but they have to be. They have to have a lot more patience. Mm-hmm. They can't lose their patience with their lady. You know, we don't see things the same way. And you know what? Thank the Lord. This is the separation. This is the yin and the yang, but how they fit into each other.
But is that toxic femininity, though?
Yeah, there's another thing I wanted to say. Toxic femininity, you ask a lot of people, and they don't think what Susan said. It's women bullying woman.
Yeah, it is. That's toxic femininity.
That's toxic. A lot of people get that toxic femininity mixed up with the word misandrist. Mm-hmm. And misandrist is distrust, hatred, and extreme disdain towards men. That's usually derived from daddy issues or too many relationships. Much luggage.
It's also self-protective, right? So they're closing off their heart and justifying the shut door by blaming it on the men when it's themselves that have shut down the door. So so many times I've had clients say, well, I keep meeting unemotional men. Emotionally unavailable men, not unemotional, emotionally unavailable men. And my first question to them, and that shuts them up because it makes them think, right? Because that's the only thing I could do is I could only say something and make you think. I'm not telling you how you should be. I'm going to ask you a question that will challenge your paradigm. So they say, well, I have a pattern of meeting unemotional men, emotionally unavailable men, which means they are trying to insidiously spread the news that all men are emotionally unavailable. You see the indirect brainwashing going on out there. So then my question is, my statement is, well, first of all, if you believe in the law of attraction, which most of my clients do because I'm in that world, if you believe in the law of attraction, it means you are attracting you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I corner it. So do you believe in the law of attraction? They will say, yes, of course. Okay. Well, if you believe in the law of attraction and you are meeting only emotionally unavailable men, what do you think that's telling you? You are emotionally unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're blaming the reaction from the other person.
Correct. It's them creating. Listen.
So that's gaslighting. But that's prescription. Hold up. So we did the show on narcissism, and gaslighting is one of the
unintentional gaslighting.
It's unintentional.
Not even aware.
they're not aware.
Well, that also brings up the whole can of worms. Like a lot of narcissists are not even aware they're narcissists in the survival mode, right? Kind of thing.
Oh, they're not aware because they've convinced themselves of their story. So it's the same thing. I mean, Kevin and I, my husband's a lawyer, so we talk about this, that the whole illusion of what truth is, right? Because lawyers are masters at illusion, right? And so he's so good at presenting a case. He could sit as a devil advocate and he can convince any side because he can sit in that gray area. But is a lie a lie when you believe it yourself? No, it's no longer a lie. It's your illusion. Reality.
It's your reality, yeah.
Right? So people are not lying, okay. But they're responsible for finding truth within themselves.
I got something for you.
Yeah.
So in terms of reality, you think you live in your own reality. And I think that where the illusion lies. As a kid, a lot of us have dreams. I wanted to be a bus driver, like a Greyhound bus driver. I no longer have that because it's just I don't fit on the bus. But the difference is now is like a lot of us have dreams, and we heard it oftentimes from our parents or peers or friends or TV, or choose something attainable. Like, oh, you can't be an NBA player because only hundreds of players make it versus millions of high school players, for example.
Yeah, but they did. Why not you?
Well, that's the point, right? So you accept somebody else's reality to be yours. So the point is it comes back to existential question. How do you know which reality you really live in? Are you living in a reality where you exercise your free will? Or you live in a reality where somebody else tells you how you should be, including like, oh, you're toxic masculine, or you're toxic feminine, you're misandrist, misogynist, et cetera, et cetera. How do you know you even that? A lot of people just going through life like NPCs, non-player characters. They just go on, like you said, they're not emotionally available in general to life, let alone to their partner.
Derived from being hurt too many times, with little goals, aspirations, dreams that they had, they allowed it to be taken away from them. That's why. So they got hurt and they, oh, why should I even try? Nothing works for me. That's just the way life is.
Well, you either choose to live a victim mindset or a winner's mindset in life, right? And yeah, you're right. I mean, of course, it always boils down to hurt, whether you're hurt recently or you're hurt over. Usually it's the same pattern. I believe in patterns. I mastered patterns. That's how I learned how to really make things happen. It's all about patterns. How to read people, it's all about patterns. But it's not even existential, what you're saying. It's the basic life. It's first of all, how do I identify whether I'm living somebody else's belief systems, which is our parents? It starts with that, right? When we're kids, the first 3 years of your life, your mind is completely filterless. Everything that happens around you is going right into you with no filter. So the main programming that we live with is either generational or just our parents, our upbringing, right, in the first few years of life. But that's everybody, though. That's not just because you are you. That's everybody. So we all have to work around finding that personal identity throughout our life. That's what growth is, right? So the main thing that you have to do is you'll know when it's somebody else's programming or somebody else's desires that were pushed into you when you can't find anything that you're passionate about, number one, right? If you weren't passionate about the bodybuilding, you would not have put that much energy in it. So whatever you, there's no such thing as failure. Everything you do is only leading you to define what you really want.
An experience, right? So you try something, yeah. And if it doesn't work, and if you're conscious enough, you're like, okay, it doesn't work. Let me do something different.
Yeah.
I think it's, I know it's psychotic if you do continue to do something that doesn't work, that hurts you, and you continue to do it, that's a psychotic, it's the definition of psychotic behavior.
Or it's just the fact that you're miseducated and like you're not educated in a way of how to resolve these things that you do. Like there has to be strategy. You don't just do things like empty-minded and you don't just like, I call it the insanity loop. You're not thinking anymore. You're just doing.
Following.
Yeah, but like, what is the purpose of everything you do? So it's all strategic. But here's the thing. I mean, in the end of the day, I think the most important thing that you need to remember is you can do anything you want to do. Like anything you set your mind to. If I wanted to hike Mount Everest, just because I've never hiked Mount Everest.
Why would you though?
Well, that's the thing, right? I could be a great doctor, right? So if I'm not a doctor, does that mean I'm a failure in life? If I'd never hiked Mount Everest, does that mean I'm a failure in life? Really, eh? Yes. Good for you. No. Whatever I set my mind to, if I really wanted to, I can do it. If I really wanted to, if it's my
within goal, reason, yeah, within reason.
But even then, if it's my goal, I'm going to go and do it. It doesn't matter whether it's within reason or not, because it's all in your, you define what's within reason.
Yeah, but
for
you could never play for the Montreal Canadiens, right? Like,
if I wanted to, I would have. If I really wanted to, if I put every single
what
hour.
What did you put in Susan's drink there? What did she say?
No, she's going if I now. Wanted to, but I didn't want to because I know that I'm not going to. You see what I mean? Okay. I'm never going to put the effort. Like,
you want to make it attainable too.
Well, it's but passion it's not a pipe and dream. Inspiration drives to achieve that greatness in whatever you feeds your heart. I can't become a body. Are you kidding me? My brother tries to train me. I'm crying. I'm like, that hurts. And he can't even push. Like, I'm like, no, that hurts. That hurts. And he's like, oh, my
that's
God.
How I feel with Glenn every day when I go to the gym.
Yeah, right? But yet he pushed himself to those limits, right? Because that's what fed your heart, whatever it fed you.
Okay, so we're talking about toxic feminists. We're coming back to that. And you were stating that that's female bullies, basically.
It is.
Okay. So that would probably answer the question, the surmise, the reason why a lesbian couple usually has a more dominant, the one who takes, if you want to say, the male role, which is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you like girls, but you prefer to be with the girl who takes on more masculine characteristics. And that's that more bossy, she's the more leader one. The reason why I'm talking about this is because at my friend's restaurant, there's a girl there, and she was a straight, and then she went on the other side, and she got into a very toxic lesbian relationship where the boss babe part of the relationship, the leader, the dominator, when the relationship wasn't working anymore, it became very aggressive, violent, physically hurting the other one. That's toxic femininity at its finest. And this is also one thing that most people don't know is that lesbian relationships, they have the highest amount of household violence.
And also they don't last as long as gay, homosexual, men, homosexual relationships. I think on average, and I might be wrong, don't hold me to it, I think lesbian relationship lasts 4 to 5 years on average, where homosexual male relationship could be like a marriage, homosexual marriage lasts anywhere 8 to 10
well,
on average.
That would be an interesting stat because I don't know, because in my personal experience, the lesbian relationships are a lot more healthy than the other side, like the men. So I guess it's all, I'm statistics are really important. I don't
polling.
Know. Mm-hmm. I don't know everybody. I don't know as many lesbian relationships as I know male, but I do know that.
They have the highest domestic violence is the women with the women.
We should put these stats on our things, on our the
I will,
comments.
I will call it up.
Yeah, because this is really interesting because my personal view doesn't represent the world, right? Because like I said, I only know very healthy ones. But here's the thing, I think, and I worked with a client that was a lesbian that transitioned from a marriage with a man into a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, whoa, we had to like abort mission fast because she was being taken. Because don't forget, women have a power to manipulate because it's all emotional manipulation. Right? Whether it's done subconsciously or consciously, right? So for this client that I was working with,
Hold up before you go with that. So according to your statement right now, if women avail, that's their power, they manipulate emotion. Is that a definition of toxic femininity?
No.
Narcissist.
The toxic men, that's just
manipulative.
Just narcissism, right? Narcissism and toxic femininity are not the same.
They're not.
Toxic femininity, I'll give you an example. This is hilarious, right? You know how I read people, right, Alex? I don't know if you know, but I can read you within 5 minutes. I know exactly what you're thinking. I know I can hear everything, right? But thank God I don't judge. So one of my old clients but became kind of friends, we were having supper one day and she's struggling with money and whatever. Mm-hmm. Like in her marriage, she's not always the happiest, but she, what do you call it? When somebody, toxic positivity. Just turn everything negative into positive and pretend the negative doesn't exist. So she's toxic positivity. So anyways, I'm sitting there for supper and I don't have those issues, right? And I'm like, okay, whatever. And we were talking about empaths. Oh, empaths. This whole world of the women justifying the emotional weakness and, I'm too sensitive. I take on other people's energies because I have this special gift that, I'm so sensitive.
Yeah, always happens in first world countries. Never third world. That's a first world problem.
Well, of course it is a first world problem. So I'm surrounded in the world of mindset and coaching with empaths. Oh, that's why I struggle. That's why I'm depressed, and that's because I'm too sensitive.
I can't be around people, you know. I gotta be in the woods.
Yeah, I care too much, Susan. You know, I just love too much.
Drama 101.
So that's okay. The rationale is I love too much and I care too much, and that's why I'm connected with you. Okay, fine. Great. So I'm sitting there and she's like, you know, Susan. And she was talking about some of her just struggles. She goes, you know, Susan, you're just fortunate that you're not an empath. You can only imagine.
But she prejudged you, right, too. It's like, you can control your emotions, you're not an empath.
But here's the thing. She knows the power of my perception, my ability to read people. She knows. I read her from the first moment I met her. So this is the thing. I could feel everything you feel. I could see everything you see. I could hear everything that you hear in your mind. So she knows.
You've learned to manage it.
Well, it's called emotional intelligence. So anyways, when she said that, I don't think she realized her audience at that moment because she was just going on her sermon, her personal sermon of justifying why she struggles without going into the area of maybe you're just not brave enough to take those steps to step outside of the being victim, right? So anyways, so she goes, oh yeah, but you know, Susan, you're just so fortunate that you don't struggle like us. You don't struggle because you're not an empath. I'm like, oh, the tsunami is about to come and I have to save her life because I will drown her. So I had to take a breath.
That's her choice, right?
Well,
it empowers her when you make her realize that she has choices. These are the results of the choices you're making.
Well, I think at that point she knew, because this is the indoctrination of the toxic femininity or toxic whatever it is between women. They're enabling each other to be weak, right? That's the main thing. And so I said to her, I said, you do know that I can see you. I can see people. I can feel people more than anybody out there. That's my work, right? I said, so how can you say I'm not an empath? I don't understand. Please explain to me in English, right? Because how can I not be an empath if I can feel everything you're feeling? And I'll tell you what you're feeling too. I'll tell you even what you're thinking. So if I'm not an empath, then what am I? So I could feel everything you're feeling. And she's like, and I think that's when she realized, oh shit, I didn't look at my audience. And in sales, I always said, know your damn audience before you speak. Otherwise, don't speak, right? And that's when she realized, oh, I made a big mistake. Of course, Susan's an empath. I'm like, the only difference between me and the other empaths out there is that I've learned how to use this part to manage this part, which is the only thing that's missing in society right now with all you people that choose to stay as a victim and justify that I'm an empath. Okay, I got it. I think we're all.
Oh man, you just sounded like a toxic feminist. All you people.
No, she does. She's also she put a little bit of logic into the equation there.
Well, yeah. How can you defy that?
Well, you were saying about how the girl was feeling. Your feelings never lie to you. They always tell you what you're thinking. So if you don't like the way you're feeling, then you have to change the way you think.
Yes.
And so when
exactly.
you morph yourself from a different perspective, that's self-awareness. That's waking up. That's the choices that you have. It's inside of you. We all have those choices. But they choose to make the wrong choices, to suffer the results of these wrong choices, and they say it's not their fault and you don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, because I am not choosing to be sitting there in pain and not making money. And so it's almost like, well, Susan, you know, people pleasers, big problem. I'm like, listen, I know all about people pleasing. I would love to make you happy. I would love to be loved by everybody. But geez, like, come on. Like, there has to be, I always say to people, and the women need to understand this, I would rather be liked. I would rather be respected than liked. If I had to choose one or the other, I would choose respect any day.
Glenn, go ahead, comment.
Yeah. G-Man doesn't want to be loved. G-Man wants to be respected. Cool. How do you respect the G-Man? Is through showing him loyalty and trust. You trust in his decisions. You trust in his ability. You're with him through good times, through bad. He's the solid guy, and that's why you picked him out of all the potential that you could have had. You chose the G-Man.
Yeah, ladies.
You lucky feline, you.
But that is actually, you know, callback, right? I'm circling back to your original statement where your friends say, oh, you're very masculine. I think that is the masculine trait that, if you would summarize it, that you are rather be respected than liked.
Well, yeah, I mean, because I see all the pool of like needy people, and they're all suffering. No money, no love, no nothing. I'm like, yeah, no, it's quite all right. I think I'll stay right here.
Especially today, everything is built on likes, right? It's creating compulsive behavior where people do everything they can throughout the day to put pictures of themselves or doing some stupid stuff on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, just for the sole purpose of getting likes from people that they don't even know, that if they actually did know, they probably wouldn't even like them. What a hypocrisy that we have going on in this world right now.
That's justification for your existence. Like, if you have to be that's why I think it's going back to existential question. If you constantly have to be approved by somebody else, validated to be you, that is wrong. Like, if you understand yourself, like you said, you don't need anyone else to tell you who you are. But that goes back to existential. Do you know who you are? Do you know your purpose? Do you know the purpose of this existence? I think it's always go back to existential question. I'm going to bring God back into conversation. I'm going to bring man back into conversation. It's the reason why we call it identity politics, right? And now mental illness is one of the identities in identity politics. But all those things are happening is because we are destroying the foundation of existence, whereas everything is actually clearly defined. Like, this is, everybody has a different role. Men and women don't have the same role. Like, even in toxic relations, we know that women are toxic usually towards other women, where men are toxic towards women, you know? So there's, even that is different. Even that is different. So the idea is, like, if you do know who you are, and that's going back to creation and the creator and the man and the family and all this other stuff, then conversation takes on different term. Mm-hmm. And that's why it goes back to my original premise. Where do you meet your spouse? Where do you meet your husband? You know, but again, that's minus the religion, by the way. I'm not trying to have a religious conversation here.
No, well, here's the thing. Religion or spirituality or whatever we want to call it, I'm so not religious at all. I think I remember back in the day when I used to walk in churches. I used to, you know, Amityville Horror, when you hear that voice, get out. That was what I used to hear. I think it's my own voice telling me, get out of this religious institution, because I'm so I never really resonated with it, because I think it's the indoctrination. I don't like systems. I don't like structures that are imposed upon me. Which is why I didn't go to university at first, because I wanted to show myself that I could succeed without that education. But I did come back and get my finance degree after I succeeded. But it's just, I've always, indoctrination, brainwashing is such a very real thing out there. So I just wanted to develop my own thinking, regardless of whether I fail or not. It doesn't matter. So I think as women, we have to be very careful how we're judging somebody else. And a successful woman doesn't mean she's a man. just because she's successful and she knows how to make money and she can talk about money and I love money, nothing wrong with money. I'd rather have money than to not have money. I'm sorry. And if I have to become a man to do it, I would choose that before I fall on the ground and cry and be a victim, right? So if you call being feminine a victim who cries a lot and everything, then that's your definition. That's toxic femininity, right? I mean, and for women that, to me, I still want to look like a woman. I don't want to look like a man. So when I used to work with men, I worked with men my entire career. I was the only woman in management teams and everything. And so I could have easily become a very man-centric woman. But I wanted to live as a woman within those men's circles and find my way of respect, being respected, being a woman still. So exercising my boundaries, and I lived in Asia, believe me, there are no boundaries. Sexual harassment is a very real thing. And even then, I didn't become one of these feminists. How dare these, and I didn't, no, it's part of just gaining the men's respect is that I could say, hey, yo, like you can make it as a joke. Yo, you touch my ass again, I'll kick your ass or what, but in a not a judgmental and a fearful way, but in a very stern way, but funny, and they get you seriously. So it's not resistance, it's flow. And I think that's the art. Women have to go with the flow, not resistance.
Big guy, I have to say that we're lucky to have Susan here. I like that point of view. You don't find too many women like that who think like Susan does. I think one of the biggest problems today is modern women are looking for a traditional man.
Yep.
And there's so few left. But traditional men don't want the modern woman. They don't want to be part of it. They're looking more for a woman who exudes traditional qualities. And that herein lies the problem. A lot of the women today and the men are not masculine enough and the women are too masculine. They're not feminine enough. And it's conflict in the household. It's conflict everywhere. It's a constant struggle. That's not the way it's supposed to be.
Nope.
It's supposed to come together so much easier. And then you work just to keep it together.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing.
But you don't ever make that connection. How can you make the connection with somebody who's against you almost all the time?
Well, here's the truth, though. And this is something we have to be very aware of. Because the more we are aware, the more we know what to do with it, right? Rather than being hypocritical on what we're, you know. The truth is, the woman always ends up finding her dad. And the man always is looking for their mom in a weird morphed way. So if you don't have a healthy relationship with your mother, then that's going to flow into your relationship with women. So I know, because Kevin ended up looking for just his mom, exactly like his mom. And I see myself being the mom. Like, I just can't help it. That's just who I am. So we always end up looking for what we think we don't want.
And now you're identifying trauma bonding, right? Most of
if it's an unhealthy relationship with your mom, it turns into the trauma bonding, right? But I'm not saying that you have to, that's labeling. I'm just, be aware of what work you need to do, and understanding how psyches work, you'll be able to explain, going back with all the relationships, if you're not married, or even if you are married, identifying what that unique problem is. And usually it's because of, we're looking for our mother.
And you're saying a lot of the girls are looking for their father image.
Yep. So if they didn't have a healthy relationship with, that's why when I used to date, the first thing I look at is, what is their relationship with their father and their mother?
Mm-hmm. Well, G-Man's on board for that. So who's your daddy?
Oh, Jesus. That's so ick. But I'll buy that. But you know what? Just to wrap up on the toxic masculinity or the toxic femininity, I would abolish those stupid terms if I really had a say in the dictionary. Mm-hmm. But the only one term that encompasses all that, if you want to really evolve past the terminology, is both men and women have to become and learn how to become conscious leaders. That's it. Conscious leadership encompasses both healthy femininity, healthy masculinity, because all humans, whether you're a man or a woman, we have masculine energy, we have feminine energy. That's it. And the one that encompasses both is conscious leadership. That's how I'm going to wrap it up.
And the way to that, I will wrap it up after your wrap here. And the way to that, G-Man believes, and I'm sure Alex believes also, is when we go through tough economic times, we're going to learn to lean on each other for each other's strengths endeared to us by the Creator. And nature will take proper course again.
Couldn't agree more, Glenn. Brothers and sisters, avoid contention at all costs. In your family, in your personal relations, especially your intimate ones, and I don't mean boyfriend, girlfriend, man and wife, but sometimes your business partnerships are almost like your girlfriend, boyfriend relationships. Avoid contention all the time. You don't need to wear other person's shoes. You don't need to be aware of other people's pain, but aware that other people going through life carrying some baggage. And instead of judging them, realize that you have baggage too, and yours is probably just as heavy, if not heavier. So just listen, observe, and be compassionate towards that person. If you can't handle that person, don't. Like Susan says, abort mission, but in a conscious way. Communicate. Tell them, I cannot deal with this stuff right now. I'm not at this point in my life to be able to handle you. I don't know what your excuses are. You know, like just what that Paul Simon says, the song, you know, not Hit the Road, Jack, but the other one.
Hit the Road, Jack.
Just be conscious of other people. And you don't always need to be in partnership with other people, but try to be peacemaker in your life. If that means walking away to gain your own peace, and by that, giving other person a peace as well, do that. But if you choose to stay in relationship, be conscious. Don't focus your relationship on contention. Don't fight. Find the compromise, like Glenn says. But find compromise within you first before you find the compromise with them. Don't compromise on your values, but compromise on the things like setting your boundaries. Maybe you need to set new boundaries, and that's the compromise within you. It doesn't mean you give up your boundaries. Maybe you need to rethink your boundaries. And this has been an amazing show, brothers and sisters. Glenn and Susan, I'm glad you're here to contribute to Love Squared here at Glenn Zone. Any closing words on toxic relationships in general?
No, I think just be conscious. And you know, arguing is not a bad thing if it comes to a resolution. But just be conscious. Just seek to understand not to be right.
And Alex, what you were saying, you see, in life, it creates a story. Everybody has a story. We don't always know what their story is, but a lot of times we can see how they're dealing with it. So people who get over their adversities, their stories, their through self-acceptance and self-awareness, we could be like teachers for other people who are struggling. They're always trying to suppress it or hide it, and that creates compulsive behavior. That's not working very well. And that's what's manifested incredible all over today in society. So we could help people find their own way, and not through drugs and this type of all these disorders. And so we could become, like you were saying, leaders. Leadership and people, when the student is ready, then the teacher will appear. And that's when you're able to help a person, because that person is willing at that point to finally help themselves.
That's the power of attraction. You know, you share your experience. First you learn, you evaluate, and then you share it. And on this note, thank you for coming to our show. We're able to share our information, our knowledge, our discernment, and we'll see you on the next one, brothers and sisters.
Glenn, we make a community worse for everyone.